From Illinois Public Media News, this is 217 Today. I'm Kimberly Schofield. It's Friday, April 11th. Coming up, we'll learn how food advocates are trying to patch supply chain gaps after the USDA cuts programs. That story in just a few minutes, but first, these headlines. WTTW, the PBS station in Chicago, reports Governor J.B. Pritzker is evaluating a request to appear before Congress about the state's laws designed to protect undocumented immigrants. The Republican chairperson of the U.S. House Oversight Committee demanded that Pritzker appear at a May 15th congressional hearing alongside Minnesota Governor Tim Walz and New York Governor Kathy Hochul. The Trust Act prohibits law enforcement in Illinois from assisting federal immigration agents. However, they cannot stop arrests by ICE agents. It was approved by a bipartisan vote of the General Assembly in 2021 and signed into law by former Governor Bruce Rauner, a Republican. Illinois is joining 15 other states and the District of Columbia in suing the Trump administration to restore access to federal pandemic relief funding for schools. A coalition led by New York Attorney General Letitia James says the Education Department's decision to abruptly halt hundreds of millions of dollars of promised aid will force cuts to vital services. The lawsuit claims the Trump administration's action violates federal law because it reversed a prior decision to allow states to access the money through March 2026. According to the Illinois State Board of Education, the Trump administration's action will impact 27 school districts in our state. WAND-TV reports Decatur Public Schools could lose nearly $2 million for projects that the federal government was supposed to pay for. Illinois lawmakers are considering a bill that would reestablish parole. But as IPM's Emily Hayes reports, a new documentary shows it's not an easy path out of jail.
Ronnie Carrasquillo was among the last to be sentenced before the state ended the system in 1978. Unlike everyone convicted since then, he's had the chance to ask the parole board to release him early. But he was denied parole over 30 times. For shooting at a fighting crowd from over a block away and killing a plainclothes police officer.
I graduated from this and I got this, and the law says I should have this. Well, we don't want to hear that. At 18 years old, you done this and you did. So I would say to the people on the board, I'm the oldest 18-year-old you know. I can't get out of being 18.
Carrasquillo visited Savoy last week for a screening of the documentary In Their Hands. It explores his journey for a second chance. Carrasquillo was released at age 65 by a judge, not the parole board. I'm Emily Hayes with IPM News.
You can stream the documentary In Their Hands in the free PBS app or online at video.will.illinois.edu. A pause in federal funding from the Institute of Museum and Library Services has library advocates around Illinois worried. The agency provides grant funding to libraries, museums, and archives across the country. Sarah Peck is a graduate student pursuing a master's in library and information science at the University of Illinois, and tells the 21st show that the federal support allows public libraries to offer many resources to their communities at no cost.
Imagine having to pay individually articles for the New York Times, subscriptions to Washington Post, all of them together. That adds up so much when you can get them at the library. So losing that stream of information access is going to definitely affect how people view information.
Libraries in Illinois received more than $5 million from the Institute last year for services, programs, materials, and operational costs. The Illinois Library Association says libraries in rural and underserved communities would suffer the most from funding cuts. Still to come, we'll learn how food advocates are trying to patch supply chain gaps after the USDA cut programs. That story is coming up next on 217 Today, but first, your forecast.
I'm meteorologist Andrew Pritchard with your IPM News forecast for Champaign-Urbana. Today, look for partly cloudy skies with a high of 56 degrees and a northeast wind 5 to 15 miles per hour. Tonight, clear skies with a low of 32 degrees, northeast wind 5 miles per hour. Tomorrow, sunny with a high of 62 degrees, south wind 5 miles per hour. Tomorrow night, partly cloudy with a low of 43 degrees, south wind 5 to 10 miles per hour. And for Sunday, partly cloudy, breezy, and warmer with a high of 70 degrees and a south wind 10 to 20 miles per hour.
Next time on the 21st Show, our week in review begins with Southern Illinois stories, including the aftermath of severe storms and ongoing protests against the Trump administration. Plus, in politics, a sitting state senator is on trial, accused of taking bribes from a red light camera company. I'm Brian Mackey, and that's next time on the 21st Show. Join us.
You're listening to 217 Today. I'm Kimberly Schofield. Thousands of schools, farmers, and food pantries in the Midwest and Great Plains planned on federal dollars over the next year to support local food purchases. And then the U.S. Department of Agriculture cut the programs. As Harvest Public Media's Rachel Kramer reports, people across the supply chain are looking for ways to fill in the gaps.
In a middle school kitchen, staff pull trays of baked potatoes out of the oven and dump them into serving pans. Julie Udelhoffen is a food service director for the Clear Lake Community School District in northern Iowa.
Today they're working on a potato bar, so they're getting the potatoes ready, the vegetables, cheese sauce, and we'll also have our salad bar they're getting ready.
Around the corner, staff cut up lettuce and mix in shredded carrots. A lot of the produce being served for lunch today, including the potatoes, came from farms within 200 miles of here. Udelhoffen says it started in 2022 with the U.S. Department of Agriculture's Local Food for Schools program.
It just makes my heart so happy to see these kids with a tray full of beautiful food.
In October, the USDA said it was going to extend this program for another 3 years. Udelhoffen anticipated around $40,000 for the school district. She was planning to buy local beef and chicken. And then Donald Trump took office. The USDA, under new leadership, announced in early March it was ending the program.
Honestly, it made me a little sick to my stomach because I'm very passionate about local food for the kids. It's been tough.
Secretary of Agriculture Brooke Rollins was asked about the USDA's decision to cut both the farm-to-school program and a separate farm-to-food bank program during an appearance on Fox News.
As we have always said, if we are making mistakes, we will own those mistakes and we will reconfigure. But right now, from what we are viewing, that program was non-essential, that it was a new program, and that it was an effort by the left to continue spending taxpayer dollars that were not necessary.
The timelines for pre-existing grants to run out varies state by state and by program. The effects have been more immediate in Iowa and Missouri, for instance, than Nebraska and Illinois. Liz Graznack owns Happy Hollow Farm near Columbia, Missouri. Graznack says demand from the USDA's local food purchasing programs helped her ramp up production. She hired more staff, bought a walk-in cooler, and new harvesting equipment.
I was providing so much produce through these two programs that it was about a quarter of my annual sales.
She says that's a huge loss for the certified organic farm.
The biggest hit is the fact that, you know, I have families that depend on me for working here, and they've been employees of mine for years, and I'm not going to be able to hire them this year.
Tough decisions are being made at farms and food banks across the Midwest. Tim Williams is with Food Bank for the Heartland, which serves 77 counties in Nebraska and 16 counties in western Iowa. He says the local food purchase assistance program was a win-win. The funding supported local farmers and helped the food bank meet the dietary needs of the people they serve.
By that not coming into the Heartland anymore, it's a big hit on growers and producers, but also people who are in desperate need at a time when groceries and inflation is on the rise that need access to these vital products.
Williams says Food Bank for the Heartland is committed to bringing in local food, regardless of what programs are in place. Back at Clear Lake Middle School, students flow through the lunch line, filling their plates with colorful salads, golden potatoes, and fruit.
Yes.
Julie Udelhoffen says she's planning to contract with a few farms for the next academic year and will continue looking for more ways to buy local food as the budget allows.
I'm not going to let this kill the program for us. Yeah, this is too important.
Like other food service directors, she's planning the menus for the next school year with less certainty. I'm Rachel Kramer, Harvest Public Media.
Harvest Public Media is a collaboration of public media newsrooms in the Midwest and Great Plains. That's it for today. 2 and 7 Today is produced by Stephanie Mosqueda. Reporting today contributed by Reginald Hardwick, Emily Hayes, Kulsum Khan, and Rachel Kramer. Music by the Kilbourne Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Kimberly Schofield. 2 and 7 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening, stay safe, and we'll talk to you again on Monday.